Okay, we'll come out of recess. Board of Equalization will reconvene at 1:02 a.m. And we are on parcel number 2016-52.
That's correct.
Okay.
For showing Rush and Oink as the agent, he is here.
All right.
Thus, do you want to come up?
Gentlemen, Ms. Neely, thanks for having us. I appreciate the board fitting us into their schedule so quickly after we filed this. This is a property out on Branson Creek Boulevard. As many of you all probably know, it's on the east side as you're driving south toward the airport there. Building owned by Point of View LLC, Daryl Darby Jr. is my client. It's kind of a white elephant. I mean, it was built, I think, with the intention of there being more commercial development out there. Mr. Pendle's got it on at appraised value roughly $500,000. And I understand the challenge that it would be for any mass appraiser or any assessor to value this property because there's nothing like it. I mean, there's no comparable sales, no comparable rents out there to compare it to. And when you're stuck with that cost system, as the board probably knows from prior appeals, it's not workable if you don't have an income stream. And a lot of people, when they're mailed forms on a sale or something, don't respond, and the assessor doesn't get access to the income stream or the sale prices. What I did, short of a full-blown appraisal on this and the relatively small amount of time I had to work with, first thing I did is I went across the hall from my office, which is not a big walk, and I talked to the main two commercial brokers in town, Bob Hewells and Steve Critchfield. They've got probably half the commercial property listed for sale in this area is in their office. And I asked them for a broker's opinion of value. They're both licensed Missouri real estate brokers, and they're both CCIMs, I guess, which is as high as you can go as far as a rating on a broker. They have basically said in their opinion, and does everybody have a copy of the opinion, or do you need to pass some around?
Where?
It would be the last page of the packet, Mr. Strahan. If you don't have it, I've got a couple of extra copies that I can pass around.
Here you go, right here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll put one each on the table, I guess.
That worked.
Everybody's got one. As the board knows, I'm sure there's three approaches to value property. You have the cost approach, which is what Mr. Pendle has to work with at this time, which is where you use construction costs to do replacement costs new and depreciate a building according to how old it is or physical, economic obsolescence, things like that. And it's one approach to value, but it's a guess if you don't have good market value and good income information. The other approach to value would be the market approach or the comparable sales approach, where you have the best situation of that is where you have cookie cutter houses and one 3-bedroom, 2-bath sells for 50 and the next one to it, is valued at 50, et cetera. And like I said at the beginning, this is such a white elephant. There's really no comparable sales of this type to compare it to. So that really leaves us with the income approach to value. And the brokers, more than anybody else, I mean, they lease the landing. They lease, Fuddruckers, that plaza. I mean, they any of the big shopping centers here, they lease them. So they know precisely what this property would bring in terms of rent. And they estimated the rentable value, the monthly rental value of this property at $1,550 a month. It's actually rented for $1,200. So the actual rental value is slightly less than what the brokers estimate. The brokers estimate that at that value level, in the first, the second full paragraph of their opinion down at the end, they said that the value should be no more than $190,000. And again, when you have the three approaches to value, on a commercial property, commercial properties are bought and sold based solely on their ability to produce income. And this property is no exception. So based on the income stream, we're asking the Board of Equalization to adjust the appraised value to $190,000. Now, they do offer a cost approach on this, which is depreciated value. And they think that the cost to build this building again and then depreciating according to how old it is would be $240,000. But they say in the last paragraph that there's no comparable market sales. Like I said, there's no similar properties that have sold in Taney counties, and that they believe that the income approach is the typical method of valuation that they would give the most weight to. So and that, and so basically I'm asking the board respectfully to go with the broker's opinion of value. This property, I mean, in the interest of full disclosure and honesty here, this property did sell 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, for $375,000. And I can tell you from talking to my client that he almost instantaneously regretted buying it, because he had dollar signs in his eyes. He thought it was close to the airport. He thought he was going to get all this high rental income, and he just flat can't get more than $1,200 a month, and that's what it's currently rented at. The brokers think that his the rent that he's getting now is about $350 a month too low. So I'm willing to go with the broker's opinion, even though it's higher than what's actually being generated here. And if there's any questions, I'll be pleased to entertain them. But we're asking for board to adjust it down to what the commercial broker's opinion is of 190. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Josh also pointed out that the square footage that Mr. Pennell relied on is different than what the brokers have. I guess the mass appraisal card has 5206 square feet, and the actual usable square footage is 3397. And I know on the Honeycutt system, and I know how that works, that sometimes when you use those multipliers, the adjusted square footage can get out of whack. So that would just be another basis if that's what if the cost approach is what the current value is based upon, then that would be out of whack based upon the actual square footage.
Well, did you buy this at is he the buyer at 375?
He my client bought it. That's an attorney of my office. He's not the buyer, but he bought it at 370. That's okay. Should have introduced you, Danny. But he bought it at 375. But like I said, he had dollar signs in his eyes. The airport was new. He thought it was going to generate all this income. And as the broker, exactly. And the what the brokers have done is brought him back down to earth and said, you know, they told me that he was lucky to get what he was getting out of it, but they estimated that it'll bring no more than $1,550 a month. And if you read their opinion, Danny, what they say is that the highest and best use, what it really should be used for, is a residence. It's zoned commercial. Absolutely, it's being used as an office, so it has a commercial use. But probably the highest and best use of the land that it sits on would be a residential property. It'd probably bring a higher value as a residence than it would as a commercial property. Like I said, it's a white elephant.
What I'm going to do, Russ, probably is not exactly what you're wanting, but it's a practice that I put in my own mind and tried to convince these others that next year's reassessment year. You're here this year for
16.
For 16 and some assistance. And if Mr. Pendle decided that it should be lowered from what we decide this year for next year, that's fine. I'm going to make a recommendation that we lower this to $250,000. That's half of what the assessed value is now. And all the evidence that you've given me is substantial. I understand that. I'm going to give you some assistance for 2016.
Well, and I understand your point, Danny, that the assessment cycle is 2 years and the values are set in the odd year. And I don't really like taking tax appeals on in an even numbered year because the client doesn't get the bang for the buck. I mean, if I can come in on January 1 of 15's values, they get a 2-year benefit. This guy just brought it to my attention. I think, you know, his tax bill stung him enough to where it got his attention and had me come in an even numbered year. Right. But I understand your point.
And so the 240 or the 250, that's just a recommendation. I haven't made a motion yet.
I'm sorry, that was a recommendation. Made a motion.
But that's what I've done on some other appeals for this year, and that's what I'm going to make into a motion at this point, that we set this at $250,000. And you know, I mean, I know your past history, that you have the availability to go to the State Tax Commission. Mm-hmm. And so that's my motion, is to set it at $250,000.
I understand. Understood.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we need to have any more discussion?
What's your thoughts, Chuck?
Well, the one thought I had before Russ mentioned it was highest and best used, as he then referred to. Whatever the square feet is, it's a large, nice, if it won't do income, as you've talked about, it ought to be a residence. And it's a big, I assume, fairly good condition place. So
I think it's in decent shape. I think that's fair.
If we're looking at value, then maybe we should look at its value as a residence and not as a commercial property. You asked for my thoughts. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, what's it zoned as?
It's zoned as commercial, and I guess if it was reclassified as,
say we can change the classification.
That, well,
we can. If it's zoned in that particular subdivision, that'll have to go before the Board of Adjustment or planning and zoning before we could change the classification of a subdivision area. If you just picked a home out here or something like that that's sitting out here, you can change classification. We have the ability to change classification.
We don't have the ability to change classification on valuation. Not zoning, but just on a classification.
I believe that you all can change the classification.
Well, if we can't plan, we can't change the zoning.
Now,
but we can change the classification, I believe.
I think
if,
so.
If they're going to use it as residence.
Right.
Now, if they're going to continue to use it as commercial, then it should be commercial.
Right.
Well, but if you're looking at the value, and our attorney probably knows better.
Mm-hmm. I think Derek Bell is a little settled in there to be.
Full disclosure.
Unless he wants to live there.
Yeah, full disclosure. It's not going to be a residence anytime soon. And I wouldn't tell the board, you know, anything to the contrary. But Chuck is right that highest and best use is residential, and it's just one of those odd ducks that, you know, it's too much like an office to have value as a residence, and it's too close to the highway, and then it's too much like an office to sell, or too much like a residence to sell as an office. You know, I mean, it's just somebody didn't have their thinking cap on when they developed this.
What's the property? How big is the property?
The dirt. The dirt's right at
4.79 acres with that kind of a nice looking building on it. I mean, I'm giving you a break at a quarter of $1 million if you want to go residence.
Well, and I think Chuck's point is well taken, Danny. You know, when you talk about highest and best use, the use path, the uniform standards and principles of appraisal.